This is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm David Brancaccio. In New York, city and state officials have now pulled together $500,000 to help small businesses in the Bronx section that were damaged or ransacked during these days of protests. The mother of Eric Garner, the Staten Island, New York man killed in 2014 by a police officer who used a chokehold, was in full support of protests in recent days, but has called people who stoke violence opportunists. In, for instance, Minneapolis, an insurance group estimates damage at about $25 million. Many demonstrators say peaceful protesting is essential. Others say equal justice and not property damage is the central issue here. Marketplace's Kristen Schwab consulted some thinkers about the drivers of this kind of theft and vandalism.
In the recent protests, it's not clear yet who's responsible for the illegal activity, whether it's outside groups or people who live in these cities. But what makes people want to smash windows and destroy property? Darnell Hunt is a professor of sociology at UCLA.
It's never just about the triggering event. They tend to be the result of an explosion of underlying factors that have been simmering for years.
Right now, those underlying factors include people's relationships with the government and police, but it's also about their relationships with their community.
A lot of people from those communities would argue, well, it's not really my community. In fact, the businesses in this community often exploit me.
Also, research shows when police wear riot gear and use tear gas, things can escalate more quickly.
When police try to impose order, it creates more frustration and therefore it brings more people out and more resistance.
Kevin Mumford is a professor of history and African American studies at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. He says once the frustration becomes physical, people may act out against businesses that feel symbolic.
It's not completely spontaneous. There's a narrative, right?
Mumford says brands and their buildings can be a physical representation of inequality. For instance, Target was an early pick in Minneapolis. The brand is headquartered there, and in 2004, the company donated $300,000 to the city to help purchase 30 surveillance cameras downtown. And the company has partnered with the city's police department in other ways that have been criticized by local activists. UCLA's Darnell Hunt says it's not just about specific stores, but sometimes specific neighborhoods.
We're seeing a lot of activity in relatively upscale and affluent communities from coast to coast.
He says, of course, some people could be stealing to take advantage of the moment. But for others, this could be a last resort to bring attention to inequality. I'm Kristen Schwab for Marketplace.